And we are calling teaching as we hear the words perfected, it perfects us in love. As we hear the word, it perfects us in love. As we hear the word, it perfects us in love. This is how we love, and we love one another, and we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind. It is drawn from God's word. And as we know, the word of God has to be revealed to us in our hearts. If we are to bear the fruit of our walk, our commitment to the Lord, it is on the basis of how we hear. And this is why it is so imperative, important, that we walk close with him, that our hearts are right with him, that we fellowship daily with him in our closets, because all of that enables the word of God to do that work within our hearts. And we're going to look at some of these things this evening with regard to this, but we're going to start off in 1 John 2 and verse 5. John 2 and verse 5. And here we're basing our teaching this evening on this verse. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him or her. By this we know that we are in him. And he says, he who abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So he gives us a clear understanding how this works. Because he says, whoever keeps his word, in other words, listens to it, holds it in the heart, that's what it means. Whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected or is worked. God's love is working in us and through us as we keep the word of God. And we remain faithful to the word of God. And what God puts in our path, in our everyday walk, as well as our quiet time with him, and where we will read the word, and where we also come together in a fellowship like this, where we hear the word of God. In this, so we love God, is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. So how do we know? How do we know we are in him? He says, by keeping his word. And it's not rocket science. If you know you belong to the Lord and you are in him, then he says, you will know this by the way you keep his word. You listen to his word. You allow his word to do that changing work within us. You see, it's very important when we read these verses, these scriptures. You see, most people will just look at that and say, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. So when you read something like this, it's challenging about the love of God. And he's saying, this is how the love of God is perfected. By keeping his word. Hey, lovely. Sounds good. But do I know that that is happening with me? Because it goes on. By this we know that we are in him. So how do we know that we are in him? He makes it absolutely clear. Whoever keeps his word. In other words, loves his word, listens to his word, where the Spirit leads and guides you. He says, then The love of God is being perfected in you. You see, isn't it interesting when we break the word down and we open it up, we then begin to see the deeper meaning of what God is trying to get our attention. Is it so easy to skip over the real meanings behind the Word of God? And that's why we spend time in the Word to open it up so that we can really begin to understand what he's saying. We also see, just in passing, in 1 John 3, we'll take it from verse 10. In 1 John 3, verse 10, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And then it goes on about Cain, who slew his brother, because he offered a better sacrifice than his brother did. It was jealousy that motivated him. And so he's comparing that, how we can harbor these resentments, these things within our heart. He tells us that if we have anger, then that's good as murder. It's good as slaying someone. That is bringing out now the inner principle, showing these things, how love is so imperative, because everything is built upon the love of God. There cannot be his church if it's not built on love. There cannot be fellowship if it's not built on love. There cannot be unity and oneness of the Spirit if it's not built on love. Everything is motivated from that. Even our faith to believe. And we walk by faith. Faith must have love. It is the royal law. It is a commandment. All the rest of the law is fulfilled. It's nailed on the cross. And its fulfillment is love. And that, he tells us, we do if we follow him. And therefore, he's going to do that work in us, perfecting his love. And here it is in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. This is how he's going to work his love in you. It's not your love. It's his love. As we yield to the Spirit, as we daily take up our cross and follow him, he will work his nature within us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you have to learn to draw from his nature, which should be in you. It's there. The fruit of the Spirit is there. You draw from it. It's not your fruit. It's not you trying to be long-suffering, gentle, good, meek, and all that which is in the fruit of the Spirit. It is there. It's for every experience. The fruit of the Spirit is being perfected in us to meet every trial and testing each day when we walk with the Lord. It's all there. The fruit of the Spirit is Christ in you. It is him. They are found in him, not in you. And he works that. He perfects that within us as we yield to the Spirit. And we don't resist him and fight him. That's why often he brings us to the end of ourselves. And he uses trials, situations to do that, in order for us to yield, to let go, to get out of the way. That's often what it is. so that he works this through you. Yes, it hurts. Yes, you don't like it in the flesh. Yes, it's bringing, it seems, the worst out of me. They are the very conditions. If you stay with it, you keep coming, you keep listening, you keep in fellowship, the Holy Spirit will do it. Because he's God. What is the point otherwise? What's the point of following him, having fellowship and being in the house of God? He's the one who's gone before. He has overcome all things in order that you and I now can overcome all things, you see. And I know I labor on this one, but it's so important, because otherwise the whole of the walk looks a failure. It really does. And this is where he's getting us to walk by faith. And so we see then that the emphasis of this epistle that we read here back in 1 John 2:5 is God's light. It's his love. And it's the emphasis to walk in it. How do we walk in the light? By keeping with the word of God that keeps us in the light and in fellowship with him. This word is a supernatural book. It's not an ordinary book. It is a book that never comes to an end. You never dry up with this book. There is always something new, because it's the sword of the Spirit. It is alive. And when the Holy Spirit reveals his word to you, it's no longer a dead letter any longer, which it was before you were saved. You read it, but it was a dead letter. You were reading this like any other book or novel. But the moment the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you become a new creation. These words become life. It's the Lord speaking through this word. It's not you or your imagination or your intellect. The Holy Spirit is imparted to you not only for salvation, but also to teach you to make this word alive. And that is why faith comes by hearing, reading the word of God, Romans 10:17. Are you battling in the faith? Have you found a trial gone through? You didn't have the faith that you should? It's here in the word. And when we miss it in faith, it's a clear sign God is working to make his word reality to you so that you don't doubt it. I go back with the analogy that I say so often. You have naturally today used your faith. You may have gone out in your car today to work or to shop. None of you were going to your car and thinking, oh, is the car going to start today or isn't it? You just believe it was going to. When you switched the light on for light, you didn't think, well, will I get light or won't I get light? I wonder what will happen. No, you just acted your faith. You switched the light on and there was the light. All of you have sat down today on a chair. You didn't think for one moment, is this chair going to collapse or not? No. You automatically do it. Well, how much more with the word of God? And yet we doubt. Somehow different. And what is God getting to? He's getting to relationship. He's getting to the root. And it is love. That's why. And this is what we're talking about today. We're told, aren't we, that the promises of God, they cleanse us, they keep us in the right standing with Him. Did you know, and I've said it many, many times, I'll say it again, when we hear this word is like going to have a shower or a bath. Why do you shower? Why do you have a bath? Because your body needs it. You leave washing for a week or 2 weeks, and people around you know that you haven't washed yourself. And yet we do that spiritually. And we have no problem with that. And yet we're told this is imperative. That keeps us right, it keeps us standing, it cleanses us, it washes us, it's dealing with our relationship with God and everything. You see. And he's saying here, if we say we don't love, we don't know God. And you say to me, I don't know whether I love God or not. Well, you know how you act with your brother and sister, or with your neighbor, or your boss at work, or whatever it is. They're all good, clear signs where you stand with God. If we see these things come out with us, or, you know, we give them a good tongue lashing with our tongue, that is a clear sign God is still working His love in you. Because you see, this love that we're talking about speaks of fellowship with Him and each other. And this is what inspires our faith. This is what helps us to yield, to be obedient to Him. We emphasize this because we're such selfish beings. We're always going to put self first. And the only thing that will deal with that, Jesus said as he turned to the multitude, if anyone wants to come follow me, let him or her take up their cross and follow me. He turned to the multitude and said that to them. And as I've said before, they knew exactly what a cross was. You saw it in those days. You saw the vilest offenders crucified, put to those terrible death. So he was making a statement. We don't have that impact today. The nearest thing we see of a cross is on an altar or somebody who hangs around their neck as some jewelry. But they knew what it meant. Because he was, if you like, hammering it home. He was showing this is going to cost you to make it into the kingdom of heaven. It's free, but it's not cheap. And that's why we have today a broad way of preaching and teaching. You seldom are hearing the narrow way preached because they lose the people. These preachers lose the people, and when they lose the people, they're losing their salary. And we know that goes on. Now, Jesus emphasized this clearly. Then you know where you stand. And that's vital for us. Why does the Lord really punch this home like he does? Because he knows we live in denial. We can so pretend. And that's why he has to make commitment absolutely black and white. And then the grace is there. Then the working of the Spirit is there. And then you begin to see the miraculous work in your life working that you know could never happen in the natural, what God's doing in and through you. And after a time, that's why begins to make your walk encouraging when you find that, yes, I do enter my enemy. I did keep my mouth shut instead of really giving them a mouthful. All of those signs begin to encourage you that God is taking over in your weakness. But all the while you're in control, you are never going to understand or experience God in that way. We're talking, of course, about love. Going that extra mile. The parable of the Good Samaritan. All of that is going that extra mile. It's the love of God. And you know that when you see that happening in your life, you see. So as we look back in verse 5 of 1 John 2, 5, it says about keeping his word. We hold on to it. It means it's kept safe. It's protected. It's preserved. And this is where I've often said to you, this is where we get the idea that we are custodians of his word. We are people, God's people, who walk daily protecting, preserving, speaking, believing the word of God. The word of God is being revealed in us, in our flesh, in our walk, in our attitude, in our motives, how we treat one another. It's a sign that we keep the word. We're custodians of it. This was what God was wanting to do with the children of Israel. They were the only nation, as we know, saved in the Old Testament. They were the only ones that had a revelation of Yahweh. No other nation had that. He raised Israel. He wanted them to be teachers, to be guardians of the revelation of God, to reveal it to the world. But they failed their sonship. They rebelled in the wilderness and God gave them up. But has that gone? No. He's now placed that in the church. The church is a light set on a hill. For what? His word. To reveal his word. The love of God. The mercy of God to a dying world. This is what it's meaning. And it's the same as keeping the faith. We hear that often said. We keep the faith. What does he mean by that? Well, we see that in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And that's what we should do. He that endures to the end will be saved. We keep the faith. We stay with it. Doesn't matter how it looks, doesn't matter what you've gone through, doesn't matter what's going on in your life, whatever the situation, we stay with it each day and walk with him. That's the condition. That's how God has purposed it. And you see, those that always want to be up on the mountaintop find that very difficult. Because he doesn't let you stay very long up there. You come down into the valley with the demon possessed. Because that is where the love of God is seen. That is where he makes salt out of you. Salt of the earth. Oh, Christians, they'll have their heads in the cloud. You leave them. They'll love it. But God doesn't let you stay too long in situations like that for a good reason. We're told, aren't we, and we read this often in Ephesians 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and so it goes on. So this is what he's emphasizing here. He says, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. This is his prison epistle. He's writing this from prison, and look what he's telling them. To be worthy of the calling with which you were called. You are called for this. God called you before the foundation of the world, that you should bring forth fruit. And the only way you know if you're called is you stay with it. With all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, because Rome wasn't built in a day. And we see the long-suffering of Almighty God. Look how long-suffering and patient he is with us. That surely must tell us something about his nature. For the purpose, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what it's for. The long-suffering and mercy of God is that we will experience unity and oneness of fellowship with him and each other. That's what his purpose. His priestly prayer that he prayed in John 17. Father, that we are one, they may be one also with us. What a prayer. I don't know how God does this and will do this, but he is, and he will. Because he's God. What does Psalm 133 tell us? Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountain of Zion. For there the Lord commanded blessing, life for our fellowship, our unity is like the anointing that was put on the priests, those separated, set apart. And that's what it means. It means that you have received a spiritual anointing through the love of God, being set into his body, baptized into it. It's an anointing. And it affects the very top of your head to the soles of your feet. It affects your entire being. That is what it means. And that's the work he is doing. But if we keep his word, his love is perfected in us. What does it mean? Well, let's just remind ourselves again. It means this maturity or this completeness. The love of God completes my walk. He says, be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. It's a measure of perfection in this life, not sinless perfection, but it means to come to completeness. The Apostle Paul was perfect before God because he said, I read it back to you, I've run the race, I've kept the faith. He saw he's completed what God intended for him. And God is going to do the same with us. The church is going to come to that place of maturity and completeness, and then the rapture will, he will come for his bride. She's made herself ready. Because that is what's going on with you, brothers and sisters. He's getting you ready. And he's doing it through fellowship, through unity, oneness, and he's doing it through this word that changes us and molds us. It also means to keep his word that we have to abide in him as he does in us. We've shown you that back in 1 John 2:5. So we have to abide, we have to stay with it. In other words, it means settle down and get on. That's what it means. Stop missing out. Stop getting upset. Stop being a prima donna. Settle down, get on with what God wants of you. You're in the vineyard. You're a worker. There's a job to be done. That's what it means. And when you know your calling, you know where you're set, you know what God wants of you, you get down to the task and just continue to do it each day. That's what he means by this. What does it mean let's look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. In a minute, let's see if we can find this. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There you go. Now, this is how it's done. We have all these promises. Let us cleanse ourselves from all this filthiness of the flesh, this flesh that needs to be crucified, and spirit, that's speaking of the heart, the inner man, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, your separation, your calling unto him, because that's what it means, you see. That's his promise, to cleanse us. If God doesn't cleanse us, we're not going to stay with this. And we've become so defiled, we can't have fellowship with us any longer. So this word is a cleansing to us. And this is why he brings us faithfully twice a week in his presence, in fellowship, for this purpose, to keep us cleansed. There are some saints who probably only hear the word 3 or 4 times a month, or whatever it is. But God isn't having it with FGA. No. He's keeping us clean for the purpose that the bride makes herself ready. This is why I value what God is doing. And this is why God's love is perfected in us. It can only be done through the word of God. It can only take his love to love the impossible. And that's why he's doing it. Because you're going to face impossible situations. You might have done this today. Or you may have been facing some impossible things yesterday, for the very purpose that his love takes over in your weakness. That's why. And he'll do it. And how does he do it? He does it by us keep coming, keep listening, keep hearing the word of God. Go before God in prayer, in your closet, over the word you hear, talk it out with him, get in prayer, pray it into your heart. That's how we grow. And this love that he's working with us is an unconditional love. It's accepting the terms, including our enemies. That's what he says. It's unconditional. You've got my love. You're in fellowship. You love each other. And it's also going to include your enemies as well. And that's where we like to argue with the Lord. And that's where we try and resist. But he's not going to have it. But when we yield and we allow him to have his way, this tells us we are in him. And he says we know this. Here's this Greek understanding to know experientially. It's being worked in me. I know it from experience. That's what God's working, you see, within us. To forgive is an experience. Trust me. To go that extra mile is an experience. To be rejected, to be lied, to be gossiped is an experience. And to resist taking revenge is an experience. It's the love of God being perfected in you. And that's why he will let you go through these things. He'll let you go through an experience where you know they've been gossiping and telling tales about you. What are you going to do? Are you going to die to it? Or are you going to go and really have your say and give them a mouthful? God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And we get in the way. And that's why God doesn't always deal in the way that we would hope he would. Because we got in the way. God will do everything to glorify his name through you and I when we meet the requirements, what he says in his word. And all we should ever be concerned about if need be, or seeking God, Lord, am I loving in this? Am I loving this person? Am I loving in this trial? Because if I do not love them, I do not love you. I'm deceiving myself. We can know as much scripture as we like. We can be as devout as we like, but it'll give it away. As I say so often, as I bring this to a close, know where you stand, because you'll hear it coming out of your mouth. God has a way of getting it out of our mouth. In the trial, you can hear it. And you have to do something about it, because that is revealing what is really there, and that has to go. And God will do it because he is love. And he's called us from the foundation of the world. And he's going to do that work because he is Almighty God. But he does show us what he wants, requires of us, and to not fight him, resist him, but to yield and let him work what he wants to do. You know, it takes an awful lot of stress and strain, tension, all those things that the enemy tries to put on us, you know. What the world has, I mean, out in that world, the tension, the stress, the blood pressure, and all the ailments that are going on. If the devil is just ravishing the minds, that's not how we're to walk. We cast down all those things. Why? Because we know the Lord is going to do it. He doesn't want us anxious or worried or trying to do it in our own strength. It's not what he saved us for. He has saved you and I for relationship, first and foremost, to walk daily with him, in covenant, in peace, in hope, in faith. All of these provisions that he's given to us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And all he asks of us is simply just to yield and not fight him. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. As we hear the word perfects us in love, that's what we've been talking about today, and I trust that it's helped you, it's blessing, hopefully it's answered some questions or helped you. That is what the word of God is to do. It's a good cleansing, it's a good washing, it's a good deliverance, praise God.